Yeah, so we found predictive programming in an episode of Stargate Atlantis that aired in 2004. It's about 20 years old. We believe these are scripts written by the CIA foretelling future plans. In this episode, members of the crew had nanotechnology infecting their brain. So it was nanotechnology in the script. Specifically, this nanotechnology was affecting their visual cortex, which caused them, that's what your sight center, right? Which caused them to hallucinate and see things in the demonic realm just before they collapsed and died from a brain aneurysm.
Hey friends, thanks so much for tuning in. Sean from SGT Report here. That, of course, was now my world-famous friends and researchers, Hope and Tavon from Morocco, and we have a very powerful two-part presentation for you here. We went nearly 2 hours long today in this call. Part one is titled Keys to the Invisible Prison, and you're not going to want to miss part two, titled The Plan of the Enemy, The Final Lockdown. Friends, before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. If your New Year's resolution is to improve your health like 50% of other Americans, here's something that can help. Support your weight management goals with this amazing keto powder. This supplement helps with attaining and maintaining a healthy body weight by helping to elevate the ketone levels in your body, which can aid with appetite management, metabolism, and your overall energy levels. Tens of thousands of Americans have turned to this method to help manage their weight. So what do you have to lose? Get your bag right now by going to ketowithsgt.com or simply click the link in the description down below. Not only will you save 51% during the winter special, but you'll also receive several free bonuses to help you get started on the path to taking full control of your health for the new year. The best part is you have 60 days to give it a try or your money back. The link is below this video. Hey friends, welcome back. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's Sean from SGT Report here. The corporate propaganda antidote. Well, why do we call it that? Well, because the CIA had their Operation Mockingbird, which we know now means that the people who report the quote-unquote news in the corporate media are essentially bought and paid for, and they obfuscate the truth at every turn. They're not going to talk about the stolen election in Maricopa County, Arizona. They're not going to talk about the stolen election in 2020. They're going to say everything is fine, and they're certainly not going to talk about the bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine, which, thanks to Senator Ron Johnson's conference on Wednesday, December 7th, is now on the congressional record. This thing is a bioweapon. It is killing people. And we're going to talk about that and so much more today with my friends Hope and Tavon, researchers from Morocco. Their website is ftwproject.com. Now, we went nearly 2 hours long for this presentation, so it's in two parts. And part two is titled The Plan of the Enemy, The Final Lockdown. Hope and Tavon, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having us here.
Welcome back, Sean. Thank you.
Yeah. We just think it's so awesome that we get to do this every few months to kind of put together this information for everybody. And I have to say, Sean, people have been really getting excited whenever they hear that we're coming on again. I'm getting all these messages about, can't wait to see what you guys have next. So we hope that everybody really appreciates today's presentation.
All right. Awesome. I want to do a screen share here and just do a brief news roundup. This comes from Gateway Pundit. Election fraud, it's voter roll manipulation, not just ballot harvesting or ballot gathering. But here's an important one right here. Karine Jean-Pierre denies Biden administration was in contact with James Baker in effort to censor conservatives on Twitter, despite the fact that we have it in black and white, thanks to Elon releasing the data. How about this? Suburban school in Illinois calls police on child with autism over missing vax records. Unbelievable. He or she is probably autistic because of the vaccinations. I can speak from personal experience about that. And here's one for you. Where's Joe Biden? Dr. Jill hosts special COVID-19 event with White House COVID team while Joe Biden hides from the public. Now, friends, this COVID team, you want to talk about treason. You want to talk about treachery. You want to talk about democide. Look at these four people in that thumbnail. The guy on the left literally should be in prison. But no, he's not. We have Jan Sixers sitting in prison as we speak, for 2 years awaiting trials that have still not come. And by the way, guys, in this presentation, there is going to be a bit of information about the infighting in the space. And look, I don't know some of these people personally. I haven't interviewed some of the people personally that might be named in this presentation, but we're just reporting the news because we all want to get through the weeds and we have to understand what we're up against. So before I turn it over to Hope and Tavon, I want to provide one more example of the feds intervening in what otherwise are honest protests, including patriots, right? We had Ray Epps in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. We now know that it wasn't just Ray Epps. There were other feds involved in that quote-unquote insurrection, feds that were dressed up to look like Trump supporters. So I just want to say that we know that COINTELPRO exists. So we're going to get into a little bit of that in this presentation with Hope and Tavon. My friends, where would you like to begin?
Well, let's just jump and dive right in. And, you know, I want to let everybody know, as far as like our website and the products that we sell, we're saving something for the very, very end, because we've got a lot of beautiful people that come from your audience, Sean. So we made a very special video just for all of them and for you at SGT Report. So make sure you stay to the very end for that video we made. And I'll go ahead and share my screen and we'll just jump right into the presentation.
Excellent.
Okay, so we're calling this Keys to the Invisible Prison. And our summary, we're going to talk about the Microscope Army and the latest research. So you'll learn what that is and who those people are and the wonderful work that they're doing to look underneath the microscope. We're also talking about the mental and spiritual effects of the jabs and that latest research.
We're also going to be talking about the plan of the enemy, a paper tiger, the vax passports and the G20 meetings and the surveillance and more. The critical mass and the resistance, protests, the sudden deaths that are going on, the airlines, you know, planes dropping out of the sky, and the government's being confronted about these events.
And as Sean mentioned, we'll be ending this up with COINTELPRO tactics that are being used to delay the critical mass, lawsuits and scandals. This has to do with some of the infighting that's going on right now, as you were mentioning. And as we said, a special surprise video that we made just for SGT Report at the end. Now, as always, every single thing that we talk about, we make a huge blog post that we put alongside this presentation. So everybody can go and find every single link to all the reports and everything that we're talking about here so that you can go look into this for yourself and make your own informed decision. So let's start with the Microscope Army.
Okay, so Microscope Army, latest research. So what is this Microscope Army? So the Microscope Army is a term given to the organic global movement of independent scientific and professional researchers that are using modern analytical tools and techniques, primarily on microscopic analysis, to investigate the contents of current and post-COVID injections and the abnormalities arising from those that are suffering from its effects. Now, the collaborations are between the members of the groups are happening to quickly experiment, replicate, and verify findings in the hope of bringing forward solutions for the general population. So this is just a handful, not an exhaustive list, of a couple of the major public groups that share their findings in the video format that you can see on platforms. We have Tim Truth, for example. He does a good job covering the statistics, especially on the various database. He also does reposts of certain documentaries from time to time. You have the People for People. That is a group. It's actually a channel also on Brighteon, where that is a panel of different researchers and scientists who come together to share their findings to get to the bottom of what's going on with this pandemic. And then we have the La Quinta Columna group that, you know, is pretty much has been cited all over the place with their groundbreaking research. And so they're basically trying to get to the bottom of this. And in this climate, it's on a lot of places, it's illegal to have possession of any vaccine file for independent study in many jurisdictions. Now, remember, it's the experts in the past that didn't want you to look through Galileo's telescope in his day, nor do they want us to look through our microscopes now. So just to give you an idea of what would be required as a researcher to get involved in the kind of groundbreaking work that they're doing right now. A lot of the stuff that they're finding in the microscope, as far as what's in these vials, require some sophisticated equipment, even the microscopes that would have, let's say, the light and dark field ability and the ability to output a high resolution digital display. If you wanted to get involved in that alone, you're looking at the markets anywhere on average around $12,000 US dollars. If you want to have a laptop to display that resolution, you're looking between two or three grand for that. and also the software for the HD editing as well. Another, let's say is $7,000. Let's say you want to do a small lab, $7,000 for the lab hardware, the supplies and the accessories. And, you know, and this is just to do the microscopic study. And on top of that, also, if you have a larger lab and a bigger budget, you might want to try to buy a mass spectrometer. Now, if you look for the price of that, they come in all shapes and sizes. So it can run anywhere between $2,000, $200,000, probably even higher, because those are very sophisticated pieces of equipment to be able to get an idea at the atomic level what's going on with the sample. And that's one field of study. Now, since we know that this is connected to 5G, you also have to branch off into dealing with electromagnetic effects and the hardware to analyze that. So then you're going to be looking at electromagnetic detection hardware, you know, spectrum analyzers, things like that. The higher frequencies you want to be able to monitor, the price for such hardware gets much higher. A Faraday cage, if you have the space and the ability to make one. The oscilloscope, signal generators, example of other equipment you want to have, and the equipment to run the tests as well, and the budget for the R&D to make, let's say, props, or if you want to test some type of therapies. You know, again, all of this can your budget can escalate really quickly. So in conclusion, you need the time, the money, and the technical competency to be able to engage in this fight at this level.
And we wanted to bring this out because we want to make sure that everybody has like a real full appreciation of just what it takes to get this kind of research to the public, especially when it's illegal in many places to get your hands on a vial of a vaccine to put it under the microscope. So these are some really brave people that are bringing us these images that you've been seeing for the last couple of years now. So what we've got here are some of the latest findings. So there's Dr. Dave Nixon. He was able to demonstrate from samples taken from injection vials containing intelligent assembly and disassembly of a synthetic structure in high-resolution light-dark field microscopy over a large interval of time using time-lapse techniques. In closer inspection, it was observed that micro-machines are building the larger structures. So this was like this mind-blowing video clip that we've linked to in the notes for this, so you can see with your own eyes what this stuff in these shots is doing under different circumstances. And then there's also the work done by Matt Taylor that we did a report with him showing in depth and in detail his slides and his work. He's an electrical engineer, and he discovered that components of vial samples form structures when the samples were near his active 4G wireless router. Only when he turned off the router did these structures dissolve back into the sample solution. He was able to repeat this process repeatedly with the same sample. He has continued to do numerous tests with other samples and experiments since his initial discovery. So we're in contact with Matt Taylor, and we were just put into contact with Dave Nixon. So we'll hopefully be speaking with him soon as well to just support the work that they're doing and see what kind of findings that they're coming up with in their different experiments. They are now working together. A lot of these independent microscope army soldiers are working together. So we do have an update for everybody, because we know we did a presentation talking about the Bluetooth codes and trying to figure out ways to deactivate those codes. So Matt Taylor and Dave Nixon, they're both currently working on testing the Bluetooth code activations with the right equipment. So they're setting up like a whole system and a whole lab with their equipment right now. These are their findings so far. They can grow the chips outside of the body and get them to emit from the vaccine vials, right? They're also able to harvest chips at will. This means that we can start testing tools to eliminate these from the body without running human risk. And these are the words of Matt Taylor in an email to us, just telling us how they're doing with this. So there's more coming on this soon. And as soon as we have that information, we'll do everything we can to put it together in a nice presentation and get it out to everybody.
Fantastic. You know, I just want to make one point before you guys continue. So the Vax Microscope Army, these people are revolutionaries in the traditional sense. They're doing what the powers that ought not be didn't think would be done, because as Tavon just explained, it's extremely expensive, and there's a real risk to these people, to these researchers. to their not only their livelihood, but to their well-being on this planet. Because I firmly believed and have believed for a long time that Big Pharma, they run hit teams. Brandy Vaughn, just one example of a whistleblower, a Big Pharma whistleblower, who was gone far too soon, well before her time, and she said she was not suicidal. She only wanted to be here forever for her son, who she loved dearly. And mm-hmm. she suffered an unexplained early demise after blowing the whistle, I believe, on Merck. I just wanted to say that, guys, before you continue. The revolutionary spirit of doing this research, of being a truth teller and getting the information out, is literally working with God himself to benefit mm-hmm. humanity. These people are heroes. They're heroes.
Absolutely, Sean.
You hit the nail right on the head, Sean. And that is exactly what they are. And that is why I put the slides together in this way, because I want everybody to be introduced to this concept of this microscope army. There are people fighting for truth and fighting to save humanity. And we stand a really good chance at succeeding. So don't give up hope. And we're going to give you some more hope towards the end of this presentation as well.
Okay, so then the question arises, what connection do these constructs have with the clotting structures extracted from the embalmers? Are the white fibrous structures made by and from the technology in the shots? So Dr. Jane Ruby and Mike Adams, the health ranger, revealed post-COVID clot mysteries. You know, they did a piece a couple of months ago that was basically Mike Adams coming out with the lab report after a couple of weeks after Jane Ruby broke the story about the embalmers pulling out these anomalous clots. So what he comes away with is these rubber structures are not blood clots. So the summary of his laboratory analysis findings that were published from the elemental analysis showed the following. And these are very interesting properties he found. These rubbery structures are self-assembling biostructures that get bigger over time inside people's blood vessels, as we know. Unlike blood, they contain trace amounts of iron, potassium, magnesium, and chlorine, but they have more potassium than what blood does. What they also contain, though, is sodium, large amounts of sodium, and tin, a lot of tin, and aluminum. And there are much higher amounts in the structures than in human blood. So his conclusion was that these structures were harvesting these conductive elements from the blood to increase in its size. And so it was like incorporating these conductive elements into itself. The structure can take the shape of the artery or vein that it resides in. And these elements make these structures electromagnetically conductive, especially in the RF range. So then the question becomes, for what purpose? It's unknown the exact mechanism by which these things are forming. That's still under investigation. There are some ideas. And in one of the pieces that Mike Adams did, he did cite, you need to look up Dr. Charles Lieber and his patents, because in the past couple of months, he was arrested for and convicted for selling the biocircuitry secrets to China. He did a whole story talking about that situation. And it's possible what we're looking at is technology derived from his research.
And also, he mentioned that tin is a main ingredient that's used to solder circuit boards. And that's what they found huge amounts of in these clots through his analysis. So that was just an interesting side note as well. And just to let everybody know, coming very soon, in a couple days after recording this with you, Sean, we will be interviewing Dr. Jane Ruby to discuss the technological aspects of the findings by her and Mike Adams and more. So that special report will be available on the Rumble channel. And I'm really excited to have this conversation, because we've been trying to bring together the medical professionals and the technological engineers to have the conversation about this biotechnology and the different attributes. So that's going to be a really great discussion. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, Dr. Jane Ruby's great. Let me do one more screen share. I want to just show this in real time. We're having this conversation on Friday, December 9th. Rookie right tackle Max Mitchell placed on the non-football injury list due to blood clots in his right calf and lung. Wow. Again, I'm on Gateway Pundit. They do such a great job. I'm spending a lot of time here lately. How about this one? Tennessee Senior Center Tamari Key out for season due to blood clots in her lungs. So friends, this is the battlefield in the war against humanity. This stuff is happening every single day to people who don't know better and to people who took the bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine. So that's why this information that's being shared right here in this presentation with Hope and Devon is so incredibly important. This is real-time information in the war against humanity. So I got to tell you, it's just insane. Self-assembling biostructures. Is that what's in the vaccine, or that's what they found in the clots?
That's what they're finding in the clots. But when they put the vaccine liquid under the microscope, they're seeing structures self-assemble, especially when they're activated by EMF. When they're in a 4G or 5G EMF field next to a router, these things are bringing themselves together and self-assembling into little like microchips. And then they disassemble when the EMF is turned off. So that's huge.
So that's 4G huge. And 5G activated self-assembling biostructures. So now we really know pretty much without a shadow of a doubt. I guess there's some conjecture here, but we're making the connection that the vaccine, the bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine, and 5G, or EMF at any rate, are related. Mm-hmm. This is all part of the attack, the war against humanity.
Yeah, and also that information is in all the patents that we've been going over for the last like year and a half or so. It's written in all the patents for the vaccines themselves, you know, about the graphene oxide and EMF.
You also have Moderna. Remember their papers during this time also is they're creating a new operating system. It's in their work.
So this is a concept we wanted to bring out here, talking about fractal antennas. This again is something else that we wrote about in our book back in 2017. So interesting how it seems to be coming up now.
Yeah. So now carrying on from what we just talked about. So these materials, these rubbery fibrous clots, have conductive properties based on the metals that are in them, you know, a lot of tin, and they're in the pattern of the arteries that they grew in. So an approach to look at this would be, do these rubbery clots that have these the shapes of veins, do they have fractal antenna like properties? Mm-hmm. So what you're looking at, Sean, are two examples of fractal antennas, and they're both called fractal tree or tree monopole antennas. The one on the left is a three-dimensional antenna. They made it through a chemical process, but basically it's a bunch of aggregated copper material, and they connected it to the end of a coax of a microwave emitter. So it has, has this tree-like structure, and that's the antenna.
It can send and receive signals.
So it can send and so when you look at the actual name of the paper from IEEE, the title is Transactions on Antennas and Propagation, published in April 2007. It's a PDF. You can download it. It's free. And it has certain frequencies that it resonates at in the gigahertz region. So that's an example of a three-dimensional fractal antenna. What you see on the right is simply a PCB trace in the shape of a tree, you know, tree branches, or like a stream or a river or veins for that matter. And it's copper. The traces are copper. Again, conductive trace at the bottom would be connected to a coax cable. And that the properties of fractal antennas are amazing because they act like lenses in the spectrum that they're able to transmit and receive. They're highly efficient, and they're efficient because the smallest of the branches can pick up one range of frequencies. The larger of the branches picks up another range of frequencies. What you have effectively is a broadband antenna. And when you have an array of these things, a bunch of these fractal antennas, you have much increased resolution. So it begs the question to ask, if these fibrous clots are behaving, have antenna-like properties if you hit them with certain frequencies. So we suggest some tests that can be done on fibrous clots with anyone that has these samples and the means to be able to do some of these basic tests.
Which, again, how easy is it to get, like, to walk into a morgue and ask for a clot sample? I'm not sure how easy that is to get, but...
So the question would be, or the following is, do these fibrous clots change dimension when stimulated by EMF pulses. The idea being that as these things grow and gradually block off the flow of blood, is there a final stimulation that when they're hit with a pulse, they actually, that triggers a response that actually does the final thing. It cuts off the blood supply. Is there instantaneous thermal heating associated with these clot structures when stimulated by EMFs? Again, you have to look at, with the right amount of power and the right frequency, you can actually get the metals within these structures to heat. Do these structures have resonant frequencies in the mega or gigahertz range with low loss? You know, again, do these structures act like antennas? So that's what we're posing to the audience and anyone who has the ability to possibly to extend these tests with these clots.
Let me ask you guys something. I think this is really an important area to focus on because this is such groundbreaking research regarding the nanotech and the jabs, et cetera, resulting in these clots self-assembling biostructures. And if they can be activated by EMF, we really do need to figure out what's going on with these people who are circling to their left and then dying suddenly.
Yes.
Is that a directed energy weapon being unleashed on them as part of some test? It makes me wonder. I know you wonder the same, right?
We do. And we actually have a couple of slides. We're coming up to that. We're going to cover that. So,
okay.
We have some theories we want to put forward, and we found some interesting discoveries. But first, let's just cover some information about quantum dots. So this is leading up to that interview that you had shared with Karen Kingston and Maria Z, talking about how the nanotech in the jabs is connecting people to the demonic realm. Yeah. And she was talking a lot about quantum dots and the technology. Now, really interestingly, we wrote this book, Forbidden Tech, in 2017, way before COVID, based on our own personal experiences with technology that we had been experiencing. And we wrote all about quantum dots in our book.
Yeah. And again, this was before the word luciferase. So basically, the quantum dot is a semiconductor whose use of electrical energy is confined within the crystal form. So it's like this crystal, this little crystal piece of material. And it has properties that are between semiconductors and discrete molecules. And its discovery was during the research into transistors and solar cells and LEDs. So it's a crystal that has those type of properties. Quantum dots have applications to be used as qubits. So there's your tie-in to the quantum computers. If everyone knows, quantum computers don't use zero ones or binary, they use qubits. So quantum dots are able to act as qubits, so relaying information to and from a quantum computer. And they can also be used as exotic biomarkers for medical imaging. Now, we haven't explained what we're seeing here, but basically we have these quantum dots on the left, or examples of them, what they look like under a microscope. On the right, what you see are laboratory mice that were injected with quantum dots, which were basically nano gold particulates. They were injected with this, with the syringe. The body uptook that injection and deposited it on the skin and key major organs. And then they subjected these mice to UV light. So what you're looking at is UV light shown on these mice, and where the deposits took with the nano gold and the quantum dots, they're glowing through the skin. You can see the major organs that, so for example, in the head area, the brain, and in the spleen area, and then their tails. So again, this isn't graphene that's being applied here. It's nano gold, but the point is the technology, the way it's done through bioaccumulation, is the same. This has huge implications. We don't, with the chemtrail spraying, we don't know how long this technology, maybe it's being active right now, but they're improving on it with the new injections.
Yeah, and these pages, I literally copied and pasted pages out of our book in order to bring this out, because it's just fascinating how it's been coming up a lot in conversations. So here's a bit of a summary of that conversation station with Karen Kingston and Maria Z. So she did this presentation. She connected the patents of the transhumanist biotechnology, the creation of an AI-driven tyranny and gateway to the demonic realm, with the help of the quantum computing-based infrastructure, that's those quantum dots. She also concluded that the plan set by these authors for humanity would be physically and mentally merged with artificial intelligence as the only means to advance further and lose one's soul and spirituality in the process. This is in line with Elon Musk's warning about the responsible use of AI to avoid, with AI, we are summoning a dream, and that's quoting Elon from 2014.
Yeah, so along with we're summoning a demon, what Elon was saying, in response to that, D-Wave, Gordy Rose of Kindred AI, quoted, he says, these words, demons, does not capture the essence of what's happening here, unquote. He then later in that same conversation explains that at the tech conference in Vancouver, that the entities summoned are more like the ones in an H.P. Lovecraft science horror fiction book, where they're super intelligent and indifferent to humanity. And so it's interesting, he mentioned that's one of his favorite authors, because H.P. Lovecraft was around during the 1890s and 1937. So having said that, we're going to see what was going on during that time, because what we want to do is we want to show the continuation that this isn't a new thing, Sean, where there's always been this push to try to somehow get into bringing in using technology to bringing in other entities or communication with something else to drive and control society.
Yeah, well, let me just say something. That's 100% true. And NASA's occult roots with Jack Parsons and Aleister Crowley, too. And actually, who's the guy, the L. Ron Hubbard, Scientology guy?
Yes.
Those are the occult roots of NASA. And these people have a love affair with Lucifer. They love demons. They love summoning. They love the occult. And so I just want people to understand that, as we mentioned that interview with Karen Kingston with Maria Z, you know, I posted that over at thephaser.com, and I will try to remember to leave a link below, because it's really important that people understand these patents are horrifying and they're real, and they're quantified in that interview with Karen Kingston. So connecting to the demonic via COVID-19 vax injections. I'll try to remember to leave the link below, because you guys should all spread that interview far and wide, and spread this one far and wide too, because this is literally a war on humanity. That's not hyperbole. Look at the Goddard Tunnel opening ceremony, where literally they spent $6 million on a satanic Luciferian ceremony, essentially celebrating not only the occult, but piercing the veil, the seen and the unseen, which is exactly what's going on at CERN. So that's what we're up against here. Technology used as a tool to connect with the divine among elite circles. Boy, I don't know if I agree with that, guys. They're trying to connect with the satanic.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, absolutely, Sean. And again, when you look at that, and like you said about Aleister Crowley, what he referenced, today they call them angels and demons. Tomorrow they'll call them something else. Just think of what's being thrown around today. Aliens, entities, artificial intelligence. But the point is, like we just said, its roots, at least in the past 150 years or so, there has been ghost summoning parties. They were the rage in the late 19th century and early 20th century among the elites in the Western society, defining the spiritualism movement. There are also, at the same time, great strides in innovation. You had human flight. You know, humans are able to get a piece of metal with wings to actually, you know, fly across the Atlantic. You had telecommunications, motion pictures, photography, and the application of both DC and AC currents. So, in fact, let us not forget that both prolific inventors, Edison and Tesla, had interest in communication with the heavenly realm. You had Edison with his spirit phone wanting to communicate with loved ones, you know, and of course, like decades later, they try to say, oh, that he was only goofing around. But he had memoirs that he had translated also in French that says otherwise, that he was actually trying to get people to help him summon while he was running these experiments. And at the same time, you have Nikola Tesla that was detecting all kinds of signals going through the earth. And he believed that he could communicate with Mars. So the technology has always been used as a primary tool to connect with the divine among these elite circles. the illusion of a division between science and spirituality is only given to the masses. But these people, I mean, they'll lie right to your face. And then what they're doing with the technology is a whole other matter in their circles. And so this is a quote out of Revelation. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived.
I wanted to add something to that, too, that we forgot to put on the slide. If we just go back, Karen Kingston was talking about the quantum realm, quantum field being the demonic realm. And she was asked to define the quantum field. So I asked Tavon, can you define the quantum field? Would you be able to do that again off the top of your head like you did before?
Yeah, well, I mean, Sean, that was a difficult question. So after watching it, and this, I think this is about an hour into the interview. So anyone that was hit with that question, it would be difficult, because when I actually went online to look up what was the quantum field. And you know what you get, Sean, when you look that up?
What?
The definition of the quantum field is there is no canonical definition. That's what you'll get. And then you'll get just pages and pages of it being a blend of quantum mechanics and all this other stuff. That's what you, that's, so basically it's whatever you say it is, but basically in general, the quantum field is the atomic scale on down into the invisible area where you have forces and all kinds of interactions with these forces. You have also multiple dimensions in which these forces interact. And in these other dimensions, time does no longer apply the way it does here. But what does travel is information. Information travels between all of these dimensions. So since we're Christians, we also go extended into what's going on in these other realms. And in these other realms, this is where you have the flow of information, and you also have the entities. Not just the demons, but you also have the angels and, you know, probably angels and God and all these other areas. That's what's being interacted with when you try to pierce that veil. And
what concerns us is that you don't want to go into these spiritual realms with all of these entities that can be very dangerous without the protection of God. And so what the New World Order powers are doing right now through these injections, we believe, is they are connecting unknowing, unsuspecting people that might not have a relationship with God to this demonic field, and they're going out there with absolutely no spiritual protection. And that is why they probably look scared out of their mind right before, as they're spinning and they're fighting off something that they can see probably in that realm.
Yeah.
Oh my. Okay. Well, I just bumped on that slide with the use of the word divine, just simply because I think of God in heaven when I think of the divine. And when I think of fallen angels, I think of the pit and I think of hell. And it's sort of my belief that that's what they're trying to pierce with CERN, is they want entry into the pit. So divine is sort of a weird word, because I'd be all about angels coming here. I mean, I welcome the angels in the second coming of Jesus Christ, but they want Lucifer. They want the demonic spirit to pierce the veil and to come into this world. And I think this whole thing is part of it. It's not just CERN. It is the bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine, and the self-assembling biostructures, and all of it. And again, people have to watch that Karen Kingston interview with Maria Z. And I hope I remember to leave that link below. Guys, I'll try.
Well, we've got the link in our show notes as well, just in case you forget. So,
all right. Thank you.
So the solution mindset, it's very, and you probably had experienced this too, Sean. When you look at all this information, you get overloaded and overwhelmed. It's easy to feel depressed, you know, because what we're doing is we're reading and seeing and observing the plans of the enemy through their patents or through the crazy stuff they say at the World Economic Forum, and so if you're looking at the issue as a victim, you're not thinking of the solution. So we want this to be encouragement for you. You know, they're only telling you their plan. It doesn't mean that you need to be a victim. It doesn't mean you need to do as they're saying. They're telling you their plan. So if you look at it that way, you still have free will. You still can make a change. if anything, for, you know, for yourself and your family and locally. And think of this as words of encouragement as well that God gives us. God laughs at enemies' plans. And this is out of Psalm. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be upright conversation, kind of like the discussions we're having here. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken.
Sorry about the formatting and typos, guys. We threw this in last minute, but we wanted to make sure that we got that out there.
Yeah, it's powerful because we need to remember to put on the full armor of God, even while just having this conversation, because these people are happy to target truth tellers. They're happy to target homeopathic doctors. They're happy to target just about anybody who stands up for anything related to God, Jesus, and the Bible and biblical truth, because it really is a war on humanity. I mean, World War III, we could have never imagined that this is how dire our situation would be, because these people are using essentially unknown technologies, hidden technologies, yes, to attack and destroy humanity because they hate God. And therefore, they hate God's creation. They hate all of us. They hate human DNA, which is why they're trying to retrofit it and reinvent it in their own satanic image. So this is pure Luciferianism at its very core, you guys.
Absolutely.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, speaking of that, so there's an interesting video that was put out by Tim Truth, where he went through, there's a whole bunch of nightmares and vivid dreams that are being reported as vaccine adverse effects on the VAERS system. So he reported on the vaccine events in the VAERS database related to the search terms dream or nightmare or night terror. Many of the accounts describe dreams, events related to vivid night terrors on a nightly basis, sleep paralysis, sleepwalking, an evil presence in the room, dreams of space, dark visual and or auditory hallucinations while awake. Time is longer in the dream than in reality. Sensation of something grabbing at their feet in the bed, etc. There appears to be a steady increase of night terror cases since the initial injection rollout. So you search the term vaccine vivid dream side effect in Google News, and the search gives many hits of accounts of crazy dreams as a side effect of the vaccine. Many sufferers claim that this never happened before the injections. And as a side note, there is also a new study that's actually saying that COVID injections cause psychosis. And that's from PubMed. So
God help us. You know, do you guys remember the case study? There was a mother that reported that her son, her teenage son, took part. Yes. I believe it was in the Moderna trial. And this was a Christian boy, a good boy, a God-fearing son, who reported that after being taking part in that trial and getting the bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine, he could no longer feel God. And he really lost the will to live because he no longer, this is a Christian boy, took the vaccine, part of the trial, could no longer feel God. It's a dark, 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 dark agenda.
It certainly is. And it's really showing its true colors.
And it's why we need to inform as many people as possible so they don't become victims.
That's right.
And so we touched on this. Now, this was late October, we did this video called the spinning vaxxed phenomenon. Did we just find the cause? So you had mentioned that spinning phenomenon where people are like looking and they're seeing something. So we went through and we showed all the clips that have been showing up everywhere of people collapsing. But here's the interesting thing. So they were spinning while seeing something that terrified them just before collapsing on the ground in what appeared to be that they were having a brain aneurysm. And then we found predictive programming in an episode of Stargate Atlantis that aired in 2004, because we're fans of the show. So we watch like reruns all the time, and we're just sitting here watching it one day, knowing what we know now about this spinning phenomenon. And so this show is about 20 years old, and we believe that these are scripts written by the CIA foretelling future plans. So in this episode, members of the crew had nanotechnology infecting their brain, specifically their visual cortex, which caused them to hallucinate and see things in the demonic realm just before they collapsed and died from a brain aneurysm. It looked just like
freaky.
The spinning vax phenomenon that's going on right now in the real world.
I'm not sure that they spin in the episode.
Oh my
God. They didn't spin, but they had the same look of terror on their face because they were seeing, and they showed you what they were seeing in the show, these dark spirits that were coming to get them. So it was just absolutely amazing. So if you want to check out that video, we actually show clips from the episode so you can see what they were putting out back then. So we just found that really interesting and possibly predictive programming.
Oh, it's horrifying. It just calls to mind all of the scripts that we've seen in some of these shows.
Yes.
That clearly the CIA is involved in Hollywood because they telegraph some of this stuff. For instance, there was a spinoff of that show, X-Files, that showed an attack on the World Trade Center via an airliner, a hijacked airliner. And this was before 9/11 ever happened.
Wow,
so,
yeah.
I mean, we see examples of this time and time again. And just go back and read that, though, about these Luciferian visions people are having. Read that quote again, because as you guys were saying that, I was trying to find some of the video of people spinning. But if people haven't seen those videos, they really must understand and see what we're talking about, because it really does look like these people, as they're in the process of dying, are seeing. Oh, I found one right here. Let me just do a screen share. So it's just really important that people understand what it is that we're talking about, because we're not talking about one or two incidences of this. We're talking about dozens and dozens of people that this has happened to. Yeah. All over the world, this is happening. That's right.
That was one of the most recent ones, I think, because there's other ones too, where as they're spinning, they have a look of terror
yes.
on their face, like they can see something yeah. that's like attacking them in the air.
In the air.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. Some of them are absolutely horrific because the people are in a state of terror, absolute terror. So just read that again, would you?
Yeah, so we found the predictive programming in an episode of Stargate Atlantis that aired in 2004. It's about 20 years old. We believe these are scripts written by the CIA foretelling future plans. In this episode, members of the crew had nanotechnology infecting their brain. So it was nanotechnology in the script. Specifically, this nanotechnology was affecting their visual cortex, which caused them, that's what your sight center, right? Which caused them to hallucinate and see things in the demonic realm just before they collapsed and died from a brain aneurysm.
God, that's so terrifying. The question then is, are they hallucinating or are they actually seeing something in the demonic realm? I mean, we don't know, but either way, it's horrifying.
And they don't explain that either in the episode, but they all, it's interesting what their resolution was for fixing that problem also at the end of the show.
Yeah, an EMP. To fry the circuits of the nanotechnology.
But a strong one had to be a nuclear
blast.
That
was the solution. It was to fry the nanotechnology.
And so people who don't know what that is, that's an electromagnetic pulse, which if that happened in our nation, we would all be living as 16th century serfs for God knows how long, because the grids are already fragile, as we can see going on around the country with these grids being supposedly attacked in the middle of the night. Nobody knows what's going on. Extremely old, fragile grid. And in the EMP, if it took down the major grids in this country, people would not be able to heat their homes. Your car won't work. That's it. And frankly, guys, that's exactly what they want under United Nations Agenda 2030.
Mm-hmm.
An EMP would get us there. Oh, that's terrifying. All right.
Now, you had mentioned, so since we're talking about spinning, because a lot of people, once these videos started surfacing of this phenomenon of animals walking in circles, a lot of people started contacting us and asking, like, what do we think it is? And so we're just kind of putting this theory out there, right? Because we're all just trying to figure this out. Mm-hmm. So we think that it could be caused by electromagnetic fields. That's our strongest instinct on this. It could be a combination of the technology of microwaves and satellites combined with nanotechnology that is injected into larger mammals. And in the case of insects, when you see the insects going around, they're usually very sensitive to EMF. Yeah. Like we've done some studies on bees in the past. So insects are very sensitive to EMF. So you wouldn't have to inject an insect, but larger mammals, you might have, are they injected is our question. And then this interesting thought just kind of popped into our head. We remembered Because I'm looking down at these huge formations of these animals that are spinning in circles, like the picture here on one from one of the videos on the left. And it was like, is this kind of like a crop circle? You know? And so we just had this theory that what if they're using technology that they have been practicing with in order to make the crop circle designs, which would involve some kind of cross beam, multiple beams, satellites from space
into the field,
into the field to see how precise they could get the microwave beams to form something or move something. And there is an interesting similarity that people might not know. And that is in these crop circles, they found iron rich microspheres that were, they're found in the crop circle. Here's a picture
of genuine crop circles, right?
Right. The genuine crop circles, not the ones that were laid down with boards. And these circles show they were formed in a magnetic field. If you've got these magnetic microspheres. So we're just wondering, are they testing equipment for human control? So what's the similarity? Well, if there's rich iron rich microspheres in the crop circles in order to be activated by the microwave beams, are the animals injected with a similar substance so that the animals can be activated by the microwave beams to cause them to walk in a circle for 12 days?
Miss, you know, Sean, a lot of these animals are mammals and they're herds.
Yeah.
You know, the kind of thing that herdsmen would be managing. And we also know that during the pandemic, early on, there is a push to have all these animals injected. And we're asking, like, what the heck are they wanting to inject all these animals
for?
And even the zoo animals.
And the meat was magnetic. The meat in the stores, they had magnetic meat coming from the injections they were putting in the animals. So, you know, we're wondering, does technology have something to do with it? Is there some kind of weaponry that's involved in this? I know a lot of these videos are saying it's a strange phenomenon and it means that something's happening on the planet, but I don't know. I don't think that it's as cut and dry as that. Although there is an article that just came out that was discussing like 94 different incidences where humongous amounts of animals died suddenly all over the world just in this past year alone. So I'll link that in the description, but that just came out like 2 days ago.
Well, I think your instincts about the crop circle phenomenon in just asking the question of what's going on here is very on point. I've covered the crop circle phenomenon a little bit on my channel. I've always thought it was interesting. And of course, if we don't know what the technology is and we see orbs above a field and then a crop circle appears, of course, since we don't think that technology exists, it must be otherworldly, right? It must be spiritual beings or UFOs, some would say, are causing this. But in 1962, in his book, Profiles of the Future, An Inquiry into the Limits of the Possible, Arthur C. Clarke wrote, "Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic." So who knows what kind of technologies they have? And yes, it's very possible that the powers that ought not be are behind crop circles. They would have us believe that it's UFOs visiting us, which I no longer believe is even possible. So then I went to the spiritual realm as it pertains to crop circles. But maybe it's real simple. Maybe their technology that we don't know they have is indistinguishable from magic to us. And so you might be right. I think you're very much on point with that.
Yeah. And, you know, it's got some really dark connotations there, because what if they're practicing on the animals to get ready to do this to the humans? That's my first thought. Well, how do you corral so many billions and billions of people into areas you want them to be in? You know? Well,
and by the way, it was Einstein who said, as soon as the bees are gone, humanity is next. I mean, we can't survive without pollination and the bees. And we already know that they're trying to wipe out the bees with Monsanto and glyphosate and God knows what else, including EMF and 5G. So by the way, you know, if they can just take out the animals here, I mean, where was this in China? This picture on the left?
You know, I'm not really sure, because I took this from a collection of a whole bunch of pictures. I know that the writing on the bottom is Arabic.
But it could be a translation from what's going on in China. I think, China is definitely one of the bigger areas where this is going on.
But to be clear, this phenomenon has been documented around the world, not just certain geographical areas. There are very weird things going on with insects, with mammals, I think even with birds. I saw a deal with, I don't know, I think they were turkeys, three turkeys walking endlessly around a tree.
I think it's important with that is to observe these animals, especially these animals that are doing this. Are they animals that are known for being tagged, like pigeons, turkeys, especially livestock, because that's our meat supply. That's our protein supply.
Yeah.
You know, if these things start running around in circles and just all of a sudden drop dead after like 30 days running around in a circle, I mean, you know.
I wanted to make a point, though, about, you know, to this is not what would be known as like a unified consciousness of herds of animals, like schools of fish, how they all turn at the same time. That is something God put into animals so that, you know, there's pheromones that are involved in these things. It's part of the morphogenic field, how they all know to turn left or right at the same time. These are the beautiful miracles of how God made creation. What you're looking at here is not normal. So we're not talking about just, you know, animals that are moving in like a unified consciousness formation. So we're going to move over to the next part of our segment here. We're calling it The Plan of the Enemy, A Paper Tiger. And we want to make sure that we present this because, you know, we could tell you these horrible plans that they have for us, but we want to let everybody know that there's all these holes that we found in their plan. And we want people to have hope that they can't pull off what they think they can pull off. And we really can make a huge difference and stop a lot of this from happening. I know that they're going to try, and they're probably going to succeed in implementing some of their plans in some areas of the planet, but not everybody everywhere. It's just not possible. And we hope to show you why, so that people don't have to be walking around in constant fear. We want people to have some hope and to have some strength and to lean on God to bring us all through this, because I think we can get through this. So these are some of the most recent headlines and things that happened in the last month or two. The new G20 Agenda 2030 document calls for global vaccine passports. The G20 leaders have adopted a joint declaration calling for the establishment of global digital health networks that build on existing digital COVID-19 vaccine passports, and that was in November 18th. The WHO plans to vaccinate everyone with 500 new vaccines by 2030. There's an interview with Dr. Rima Lebo. She was interviewed by Maria Z that discusses that. The COVID state of emergency by Biden was extended to April of 2023. And here's a piece from that article. The public health emergency, which was set to expire on January 11th, will remain in place through the first quarter of 2022 to allow the government more time to offload responsibility for COVID-19 vaccines, tests, antiviral treatment, and other COVID-19 pharmaceuticals to the private sector. They're offloading their responsibility. But we all really know what that means when they extend the state of emergency, because we covered that in previous presentations, and also Todd Callender had talked about that as well. It means it gives them the time that they need to be able to do all these illegal things under a state of emergency, and the funding keeps flowing in order to keep governments floating, because a lot of them are insolvent right now. So that's what that means. And also the FEMA whistleblower, that report that you did, Sean, with the FEMA whistleblower and Todd Callender and Dr. Lee Vliet, that was excellent. Plandemic 2 is coming soon. And the FEMA strategic planning calendar that they're using shows that the plan for this quarter and the next four quarters of 2023, we are under a pandemic exercise. So again, we're just talking about the plans that they have for us. And then there is what we're going to go into in the next slide, which is the final lockdown. Digital currency, vaccine passports, surveillance, central bank digital currency, and weaponized streetlights. So this again, the plan of the enemy, the final lockdown.
Friends, thanks so much for tuning in. This concludes part one of this interview with Hope and Tavon. Now, part two, titled The Plan of the Enemy, The Final Lockdown, will be released on the evening of Monday, December 12th. In the meantime, friends, visit Hope and Tavon's wonder-filled website to get some of their amazing orgone and shungite handmade products designed to help abate the harmful effects of EMF radiation. I personally use the sleeping pods and the phone shields. Can't recommend it more strongly. I'll leave a link to their website below. Thanks so much for tuning in, friends. As always, may God bless you and your family. And for real news, visit us directly at sgtreport.com. That's the antidote to corporate, propaganda. Bye-bye.
They're putting the exact same ingredients into the flu shots. The flu shots right. are on their annual required basis on the part of their medical process. So now they're forcing people to take the same stuff anyway, the same payload from these lipid nanoparticles called a flu shot. When, you know, who cares if you don't have to take a COVID shot anymore? You're getting it anyway.
And I think that's partly why suddenly now they are caving on the COVID vaccine mandate, because they know they've got it covered by putting the same ingredients in the other shots.